Father God, for your graciousness, for your love, for your abounding forgiveness, you're ready to wipe us clean whenever we are willing to admit our sinful condition. And when you wipe us clean, you don't just clean us up, but you fill us with your presence. And Lord, it just brings to our tongues this sense of worship to sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah because, Lord, you have overcome. The Lamb of God has overcome. And he's overcome in our lives, and he will one day overcome completely. He will return, as we sang earlier, Father. Thank you for that. Thank you that you are the rock of ages, that you are cleft for me, that you are a safe place for us to go, a strong place, a sure foundation, a sure footing in a world where everything else seems to be quicksand. And so, God, I thank you for that. And I just pray today for those families who are struggling, who are worried, who are facing a crisis of any kind. Lord, I pray your peace. I pray your hope. I pray your love. And I pray your grace to abound towards them today. And, God, that they would know your presence and that you would be in the midst, in the middle of the fire with them. And they would sense you there. God, that you would speak to them, that you would speak tenderly to them, that you would care for them, that you would lift them up and hold them. And Father, I just pray for that for our church today and for all those around this community, Jesus, who are struggling so much. And we just offer this up to you. And Jesus, today again, we renew our commitment to pray that this virus that is wreaking havoc and all the shenanigans surrounding it, God, we ask it to cease in the name of Jesus. And we stand against it because we stand for life and we stand for wholeness and healing and love. And God, I pray, and for unity and for fellowship to be able to come together, Father. And so we pray for these things together in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians. And this will be our final sermon out of this series from Ephesians. And we're going to look today at Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to close it off. And I think, as I studied and prepared for the message today, again, you're just always so encouraged by how God knows exactly how to say things and when to say them, and which will bring the most amount of encouragement. And I think today this message couldn't have been more applicable, because the message is about the true vitality of fellowship, of actually being together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a part of his called out family of God, and that God has called us to be for each other, to be there to worship him, to pray and spend time in his presence, as well as to pray for and to spend time together. It's such a crucial part of our experience in our Christian faith. And though COVID had forced us to rethink, COVID has made us relook at how important fellowship is, because gathering together in a big crowd is not permitted, but we can still gather together in many other ways. And I am so grateful for the creativity of people in our fellowship to figure out ways to spend time together, to pray with each other, to look at the scriptures together, just to invest in life together. And as I just from week to week, I hear of this person meeting with this person and praying together. And I even heard, I think I mentioned this before, of people who will park their cars, you know, this way and open up the windows and crank up the heat and have a chat together, just to fellowship, just to experience together the presence of God. I think that is beautiful. And I think that's what pleases the Lord. And I think sometimes, and really for myself, I mean, obviously as a pastor, of course I love Sunday morning. I love to preach the word. I love it when we can all be together. I love that. But I also know that it's a very small part of the church as a whole. In fact, if you think about it, just from hourly, we spend an hour and a half together in a whole week, gathered in a concentrated body. What about the rest of the time? Right? It's made us rethink. Yes, of course this is important, and yes, of course this is vital, but what about the rest of the time that we're not together like that? And I've seen people take up the cause, rethinking how they want to share life together. And I just think it's beautiful. And we are supporting each other. you know, the government's allowed us to have support groups, and so we busily changed all the names. They're not growth groups anymore, they're support groups. Because really, that's what's happening anyway. It's not like we're lying. It's that these are truly supporting each other. We're encouraging one another in these days that are hard and dark and difficult, especially when you're alone. You know, it's hard to believe for me that we started this series in the book of September of last year. This has been 4 months. It seems to have zoomed by to me. And I have so enjoyed every single message that has come out of this book. I have found encouragement. I have had my thinking provoked. I have been challenged. I have been stirred. I have been encouraged to share this with others. I have enjoyed listening not only to Pastor Ryan speak, but enjoyed the journey of studying this book. And I pray and trust that you've had the same. And in some ways, when I woke up this morning realizing this is our last message out of this book, I was a little bit sad. I thought, oh, that's too bad. I wish there was more. And then I had the crazy thought, we should just start again. No, yeah, we shouldn't start again. There's more in the scriptures, plenty more. But I want us to begin this morning by reading. Let's read these last few verses of chapter 6 together, starting at verse 18. We're going to borrow a verse that Pastor Ryan finished off on last Sunday to pick up where we start today. And as we talk about true and vital fellowship. So let's read. From Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, of course, and love with faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with undying love. Amen." Okay, we're done. Oh, we want to focus on this beautiful thread that the Holy Spirit puts before us of how vital true fellowship is in our lives. And so the whole, I mean, from the beginning to the end, everything has been in Christ. Everything from the get-go has been found in Christ. Freedom, forgiveness, redemption, love, grace, the whole thing, peace, faith, everything has been found in Christ. And when he gets to the end, he said, "Now I want you just to hear this last little bit and increase your prayers for all the saints, for the fellowship." Fellowship that is vital must be tethered to prayer. It must be tethered to prayer. You remember playing tetherball as a kid? You know, you try to hit that ball and around it goes, and you try to stop it and make it go the other way until it finally wraps itself around. Tethered. That ball is tethered by the rope to that pole. And true and vital fellowship is tethered to prayer. This is where Paul takes us at the end of this book. We must, along with openness towards each other, pray for peace, pray for love and grace, and pray that God be rich in his presence among us, that we would be encouraged together. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, I would assume that all of us who here today claim to be Christian have a desire to pray. Would you say, "Yeah, oh yeah, that's me. I have a desire to pray"? All right, so being Christian is to be able to figure out the journey of prayer. And it's such an important aspect of our journey with Christ. If we're honest, we want to grow. We want to be people who learn how to pray better, more bolder. Am I speaking to myself here? Yes, I'm speaking to me, of course, but I'm also speaking to all of us. Jesus was quoting from the Old Testament when he told us and taught us that day in the temple where he said that my Father's house is to be a house of church, Sunday morning worship, prayer. Prayer for all nations. So when Jesus said that's his Father's house, he wasn't just talking about the four walls. Like, he wasn't talking about little churches everywhere. He was talking about the church. That we would be a church, which is a house, all several billion of us, you know, that they're around the globe, like we sang about this morning, around the globe, that we would be a house of prayer for all nations and from all nations. Yet in practice, I wonder how we're doing. And I'm not just I'm not just pointing a finger at anybody in this room. I was looking inside the whole time. Lord, you know, I need to pick up my game here. I need to be faithful in prayer, especially as I see the prayer laid out here. This is a game changer in terms of how you view fellowship. Remember, true and vital fellowship, being together in the name of Jesus, is tethered to prayer. If you're going to have true and a supportive and encouraging fellowship, which we're going to look at in a bit, then we must be in prayer for each other and for ourselves. Requesting prayer and praying for. That's what you find as the thread through this lecture. Well, what is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. It is worship. It is a way to declare our total dependence on God. All the way through the book of Ephesians, everything comes to us in Christ. We are completely dependent. And prayer puts us back in that spot. It places us back in that proper relationship where he is king and I am not. That's what prayer does. Prayer puts the relationship proper. It recognizes that God responds to our prayers not because he's like, you know, handcuffed. If we say something, he's not like our little genie or our big genie up in heaven. If we just rub the lantern just right, he'll do exactly what we say. That's not his role. No, he wants us not only to be dependent on him, but he longs for the intimacy that comes through communication. When you communicate, this is for the purpose of understanding each other. And I truly do mean understanding each other. He desires that we depend on him for everything and gain the knowledge of his will for every situation and everything that come into our lives that we must face. This is prayer. And prayer, of course, is an essential discipline. And anytime you attach the word discipline to anything, it's always harder. The key aspect of fellowship is truly something that we can't hope happens. We can't hope that prayer happens. I can't hope that I pray better. I have to actually do it. It's a lot like every important relationship you have. In your marriage, if you just hope that you communicate, well, that's good, but will it actually make it happen? No, you have to discipline yourself. You actually have to talk and understand and listen to one another. This is communication. This is prayer. We need each other in the fellowship. because we need each other to pray for each other. We need to lift each other up to God. This is a hard world, a harsh world, a difficult world. As Pastor Ryan clearly preached last Sunday, our struggle, and that word means struggle. Our struggle is not against people. Our struggle is against the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. You cannot take this struggle lightly. We must understand that we are not only facing huge forces against us, but also, he mentioned to us, from the inside, we face struggles. So we have this massive array of an army of heavenly realms against us, but we also struggle from within us. As James chapter 1 clearly says, that each one is tempted when by his own desire, his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. So not only do we have a dynamic struggle going on against us in this world, dark world, but we have our own personal struggles that come from within us. And you'd think, hold on, I think we're doomed. No, we're not. We are not doomed because the power of Christ is within us. And the power to pray God into every situation for one another is always present. It's always an option. It's always there. So even though the odds are stacked against us, God has given us the fellowship. He has given us one another as well as Him. We have now God with flesh. We can see each other. And we can pray for one another. So in verse 18, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That doesn't mean sometimes, does it? It means all occasions. Is there an occasion where prayer doesn't fit? Now you might be thinking in your head, well, I'm not going to stop and pray while I'm in the middle of driving, you know, close my eyes and dear Jesus, you know, trust that he's taking the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel, you know. No. There's something about this always factor that needs to knead its way in, like you knead, you know, yeast into bread. You work it in. There needs to be this working in of this kind of thinking. I like the way the ESV puts it. It says, praying at all times, with all prayer and supplication, being alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, all. There is no dynamic given to us where suddenly it's okay to say, we don't need to pray. There isn't. Prayer is tethered to true and vital fellowship. It has to be a part of who we are, the very makeup of who we are. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul wrote this to the Thessalonians. He said, pray continually. Well, how do you do that? I mean, are we supposed to go off into a monastery and become a monk so we can pray continually? Well, no, there has to be a meaning to it that allows us the freedom to carry on with life. Would you agree? But what does it mean that prayer is like ever present? And if you think about it, I like the way it says it, where it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. It's not mental gymnastics. It's not like telling your mind, okay, mind, you must pray. No, you pray in the Spirit. This is an atmosphere. This is who we are. We are ready to spontaneously burst into prayer at any moment. Like a spark to gasoline, ready to go. It means our posture is that we seek to do this for each other. It means that we are ready to do this for each other. We are watching for opportunities to pray for one another. That's what it means. If we hear something through Facebook or if we see someone on our prayer and praise page throw up something, pray. I know it's fun to put the little, you know, hand thingies there. But that's good, but pray. Who cares about the hand thingies? Pray. Pray for each other. Martin Luther, the reformer, the Protestant Reformation leader, he wrote this about prayer. He believed prayer was equal to breathing. And look what he was able to accomplish. Prayer is equal to breathing. I'll never forget the time I read George Mueller's biography. I highly, highly recommend it. This man was so determined to pray on all occasions, at all times, for everything. And he led at a time when orphans were everywhere. He put orphanages together without a single penny. And he prayed down everything from the Lord. And he prayed with the saints that God would provide. And God provided everything those orphanages needed. It's truly spectacular. But, I mean, that's just one story. If you go into any autobiographies of the Christian faith, you'll find that prayer is tethered to fellowship and to great things happening in people's lives. It is unavoidable. It is the Spirit, as Charles Spurgeon once wrote in one of his books, prayer is not a mental exercise. It's not mental gymnastics or vocal performances like, you know, if I'm shouting loud enough, God might hear me. Or if I babble on and on and on and on and on and say the same thing, God might be convinced. No, it is not like that at all. Instead, he said, it is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of the universe. It's just one of those open channels that we are accessing on a regular basis because we need it. Jesus clearly taught this. With his life, the way he lived, he would regularly go off to a private place and pray. And let me tell you again, I've said this 1,000 times and I say it to myself, if Jesus did that, how much more do we need to do that? To pray, to connect with the Father. You know, you don't have to be clever. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. He says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Isn't that good news? So if you think, oh, I don't even know what to say, or I don't know what to pray, some people say, well, if I just kick in the gift of tongues, and that's very helpful, but your mind is not really productive when you're praying in a tongue because you don't understand what you're praying. And so he goes on to say, listen, the Holy Spirit can himself intercede for us with groans that words can't express. So while having a tongue is great and you can pray in tongues is awesome, there are times when even a tongue can't grasp the depth of what's going on, and it comes out as a groan. It's a groan. How many of you here do not know how to groan? Anybody? Come on, there must be somebody. Nope. We all know how to groan. And the Spirit, he takes those groans and he brings them to the Father on our behalf. Hallelujah. Jesus, you know, he was so encouraging in this regard with his habits, of course, and with his teaching. In John chapter 10, he called himself the Good Shepherd and he encouraged his sheep that they would hear his voice. Hear his voice. This means, folks, that when we finally quiet ourselves in order and anticipation to hear his voice, God can speak to us. He can speak to us. But it takes time. It's not mystical. It doesn't have Morgan Freeman's deep voice. Hello, Kevin. No, not like that at all. Or even an English voice. Isn't that nice? What an Irish voice. Hello, Kevin. You know, it's not like that at all. These times when the voice of God, I'm hearing his voice, he uses my thoughts. It sounds like me. That's why it's important to check. Make sure it lines up with Scripture. And it's not just the bad pizza I had yesterday. Make sure it lines up with Scripture. And if there's any doubt from that, you take it to a trusted brother and sister in the Lord. And you say, this is what I heard. How does that sound to you? And have it tested by a faithful witness, or even two, or even three for that matter. So if you're uncertain after hearing this voice that it doesn't quite seem to line up with Scripture, test it. Make sure it's not just the bad pizza from last night. Test it. One of my favorite stories growing up, I don't know, there's a couple of kids in here still. Do you know the story of Samuel? Do you know what happened to him? He's a young fella, probably about this guy's age over here. Maybe your age. He was in the temple. He'd been left there by his mother to be raised by the high priest. His name was Eli. And there they are. You know the story, don't you? Now that I'm unpackaging it, this Old Testament story, it's beautiful. And I remember many, many, many times wondering if God would do that for me. So the story goes that at a certain point when he got old enough to hear and understand the voice of God, God spoke to him. Well, he was sleeping. So he goes to bed, he falls, starting to fall asleep, and God says, Samuel, Samuel. And he jumps out of bed and runs to Eli. Yes, sir, here I am. Did you need me for something? You're like, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. He goes back to bed, he starts to fall asleep. Samuel, Samuel. And he jumps out of bed and he goes, oh, he wants me now. So he heads off to Eli. And Eli says, I didn't call you. Why are you coming to me? It happens a third time, and finally Eli, hello, finally the high priest Eli says, oh, it must be God ready to speak to you. Next time you hear that voice, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Listening. And of course, God does, and Samuel becomes one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. He never misspoke. Isn't that interesting? It says in the Bible these words, that Samuel's words never fell to the ground. He spoke God's words. Wow. He learned how to listen as a young person. So young people here today, God can speak to you. God can speak to you guys. You just have to be still. Ah! Oh! That just ruined it for me. You have to be still. You have to be intentional. You have to find a place of solitude and silence. You gotta turn off your frickin' phone. You've got to turn off your computer. You've got to turn off the radio. You've got to turn off the TV. You've got to turn off the incredible need to have coffee with everyone. You've got to turn it off and discipline yourself in silence and solitude and quiet your mind. I find that to be the hardest thing. I can turn off that other stuff, but quieting my mind is so hard. I need the presence of the Holy Spirit to help me. There's a story again told of temptation. And Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane getting ready for what he knew was going to be brutal torture and an untimely death, as you say. He was getting ready for that. He took his fellowship with him, his disciples. He said, I'm going to go off and pray, but you guys, please pray for me. And he goes off and he prays, and the Bible tells us, incredibly, that he was so in agony and so intense in his prayer that he began to actually sweat blood. which apparently is something that can happen physically when you're so stressed. And he's there in the presence of the Father, and he's praying his heart out, and then he goes back to his fellowship, and what are they doing? Everybody's sleeping. They're sleeping, and this happens a couple times. And he says to them, could you not watch with me just 1 hour? Just 1 hour. He said, watch and pray. He said directly to Peter in verse 41 of chapter 26 of Matthew. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. What temptation? What is the temptation Jesus is speaking of? Well, more than likely, of course, we all know what happened. They all disowned him. They all walked away from him. They all denounced their relationship with him. They all ran. And Jesus was trying to say to them, listen, the only way to get through this temptation that you are facing and not cave is to pray. And so they got busy sleeping. And then later they caved. I began to take another look at that, and I wondered, is it possible, too, that the temptation that Jesus may have included was the temptation not to pray? That it really didn't matter. I wonder if that was in the mix somewhere. Because I know that's a huge temptation. I remember having a conversation with a lady who just felt her life was out of control. And when I asked her, well, tell me how you pray, you know what she said? With a complete straight face and not a word of a lie to you, she said to me these words, I believe God's too busy running the universe to answer my prayer. That's what she said. I had never heard that in my life. I was like, I took a step back. I wasn't sure what to say to her. That was a lie from the pit of hell. God is not too busy to hear our prayers. Hallelujah. That is pure nonsense. And Paul in Ephesians will have none of it. He boldly prayed. Listen, he says, pray also for me. But Paul, he prayed for the church. Now, we've already been through this. These are messages we covered. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed this prayer. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. This is chapter 1, verse 16. And so, and forward. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so you can know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened in order to know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Hallelujah. If you don't know what to pray, you just use that. If you are lost for words, if you're not sure, even a hint of uncertainty, just quote this. Get your Bible open and put people's names in there. But that's not enough. Look what happens in chapter 3. Chapter 3, starting in verse 16, I pray out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being. Can you imagine someone praying for you that way? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Trust him, he's praying. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints, together with all the saints. Prayer is tethered to vital fellowship. If you don't know what to pray, you don't have to be clever. You just have to be able to open the Bible and pray these prayers for you and for everyone else in your circle. Just pray them. And maybe out of that, maybe you'll get clever. Who knows? Prayer is a posture. Prayer is a readiness. Prayer is the first thing on the lips. Prayer for anything. And as I think I've told you this before, I can count on one hand of all the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times I have asked if I could pray for somebody, Only one hand worth of people said, no thanks. Everyone else says, thank you. Yeah, that'd be great. Pray for each other. Pray. Notice what Paul says in verse 19 and 20. Two times he asks that he would be fearless. Do you realize what that means? Even the great apostle Paul himself needed prayer that he would be fearless. What does that tell you about you and me? We need prayer that we could stand and not be afraid to be fearless. To be fearless to share the good news of the gospel with whomever is willing to hear it. We need this kind of prayer for each other. And then he goes on in verse 20 to say, I am an ambassador of chains, in chains. You realize that Paul did not worship his freedom. Do you hear that? He's an ambassador in chains. He did not concern himself with the government officials who put him there. He saw his chains as a place where he could be an ambassador, where he could stand and deliver as a messenger from God to everyone who was around him. He did not worship his freedom. He did not worship his rights. As a Roman citizen, he had rights. The only thing he worshiped was the Lord, and that frequently was clear in his prayers. Ones that are recorded anyway. You see, we can pray. We can pray. And we're instructed even to pray for those who are over us, our government authorities, our mayor, our premier, our prime minister. We're instructed to pray for them. Pray for wisdom. Pray for guidance. Pray for them. Don't curse them. Don't curse them. That's not biblical. Pray for them. Do we see ourselves in a proper light that we too are ambassadors, no matter what our current state is? 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, that we are who are reconciled. God has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are his ambassadors. We're his ambassadors. We speak on his behalf. We present him to whatever the situation might be. Do you think we need to be prayed up so we know how to bring him to the situations? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's not all. Tethered, yes, but prayer is great, but action is good too. And if you look at how it turns, he turns it from prayer, the focus of prayer, to Tychicus, his friend, his fellow sojourner in the ministry. He's mentioned a few times. He's Paul's faithful journey. He's Paul's faithful fellowship mate. Tychicus is a dear brother, in verse 21, a faithful servant in the Lord. Isn't that great? A dear brother, faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything. Not some things, not a few things that I want you to know, but some I don't want you to know. He will tell you everything so that you may also know how I am doing and what I am doing. Verse 22, I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are doing. Did you notice the change? From I to we, and that he will encourage you. This is what it looks like. This is the mirror that we need to set before ourselves so that we know what it looks like to be in true fellowship. All right, first of all, the first thing we need to see here is that he is a dear brother. This is a very beautiful word of endearment. We are to see each other in endearment ways. We are to hope for each other. We are to watch out for each other. We are to be a family together, watching each other's, having each other's backs. We are to be like this for one another. Because we all do dumb things. Everyone does dumb things. And you know what we need? We need people around us. Not only just to speak the truth to us, but to speak the truth in love. To have our backs. It's okay. We know you messed up. We know it wasn't proper. But we're with you all the way. We're praying for you. I like how it says that he was faithful. He was a faithful servant. You know, that's our motto. You can't see it up there now, but our motto is to love God and to serve people. And recently I've been adding this last little quip, and make disciples. That's what we should be doing. Love God, serve people, make disciples. That's our life. That can take on any shape. It's organic. You don't have to even have a building to do it. It's been done that way for a couple thousand years. I like how he says he's coming to tell you everything. You know, good, open fellowship. I remember opening my life to someone, maybe for the first time that open. And one of the ladies in our church heard that I did that. She heard it, I don't know if I told her or somebody else told her, that I was going to this program called Arrow Leadership, and they were giving us a mentor, and that mentor probed. He went deep. He didn't let me get away with, I don't know. He went deep. And that dear brother has now gone on to be with the Lord. But every day, whenever I think of him, I thank God for him. Because you know what he did? He opened me up. I had no more secrets. It was so free. You see, secrets, they destroy. And I like how he says here, he'll tell you everything. He'll be open with you. How I'm doing, what I'm doing. We need people in our lives. And if you don't have someone like this in your life, you need to start praying that God brings someone into your life that speaks enough love at you, to you, with you, for you, that they open you up and the secrets come out. You know, I used to have boils. Anybody here ever had a boil? They're nasty critters, hey? The only way to get rid of it is to what? Open it up, lance it, and out comes the pus, and so does the relief. And that's kind of what it feels like inside the soul. Tell us everything. Open ourselves up to a good brother, a trusted sister. I love the moms who mom. That's great. I love people who do in 3 and 30. Three things done in 30 minutes. It never lasts 30 minutes, though. I keep hearing that. Pray together, read the scripture together, and just share life together. Opening each other's lives up to each other. I'm sending to you this very purpose that you know how we are doing. So there's a collectiveness to this and that he will encourage you. See, that's what comes when we open up. And finally, verses 23 and 24, the ingredients. Peace to the brothers and sisters and love mixed with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love the Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. We need to pray this blessing. We need to pray this blessing. And Paul, in some ways, has kind of come full circle. He's come full circle. Listen to the first three verses of Ephesians as they compare to the last two. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ in love. And now he comes full circle. In the book of Ephesians, I did a little quick count. 8 times he mentions the word peace. 16 times the word love. 8 times the word faith. And 11 times the word grace. All found in Christ in the fellowship. I want to close off the book of Ephesians by praying this prayer for all of us. And in this room, I would ask that you stand with me. thought of no better way than to pray this blessing over us. And if you have your Bible, you can open it up. It's not going to be word for word, but the nuts and bolts are there. I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for Hinton Alliance Church, that we would be full of peace and love mixed with faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that Hinton Alliance Church would be full to overflowing with the grace of the Lord as we who love the Lord Jesus Christ with undying love pursue.
You hurt. Because you hurt, according to the scripture, is desperately wicked. And above all things,